Last week we discussed the halachos of situations where the prohibition of amira la'akum is totally waived, and that is when it comes to the halachos related to a chola. That when a person is sick, even a chola she'im bo sakana, so then the prohibition of amira la'akum is waived, and a guy is even allowed to do an isar de'araisa, a biblical malacha for somebody who is sick. Even if they're not deathly ill, they're just bedridden, that's good enough, and therefore any malacha is permissible. There are other categories of situations where, although Chazal did not completely waive the prohibition of Amir La'akum, and to do a biblical malacha in the following circumstances would be forbidden, but a Dirabanan would be permissible. And so therefore, in the following circumstances, it's important to know what constitutes malacha d'araisa, what constitutes malacha d'rabbanan, because that which is d'rabbanan is going to be permissible, and that which is d'araisa is going to be forbidden. As I mentioned in the past, if you have any comments at any point, feel free to put them in the chat, and I'll get to them at the end. So the first category of where malachas d'rabbanan are permissible is in b'makom mitzvah, in the place of a mitzvah. I just want to clarify one term I'm going to use a few more times, perhaps during the shiur, and that is that in a situation where a mitzvah is involved, a shvus de shvus is permissible. A shvus means an iser de rabbanan, a rabbinic prohibition. So telling a goy to do something for you on Shabbos is rabbinically prohibited, correct? It's not biblical. It's only rabbinically prohibited. Telling the goy to do that which in and of itself is only rabbinically prohibited, if you yourself were to do it. So if you tell the goy to do that, that's called a shvus de shvus, a dirabanan on a dirabanan, right? Speaking to the goy to do anything is one rabbinic prohibition. Telling him to do a rabbinic violation is another rabbinic violation. So when you tell a goy to do a malacha dirabanan, what you're doing is you're doing a shvus de shvus. A shvus de shvus is permissible in the following types of cases. One is b'makom mitzvah, in the place where a mitzvah is involved. If a mitzvah is involved, then one is allowed to tell a goy to do a malacha d'rabbanan. But still, one cannot tell a goy to do a malacha d'araisa, a biblical mitzvah, even if it's for a mitzvah. So this is very, very important to understand. So we need to understand two things. Number one is, what constitutes a malacha d'araisa versus a malacha d'rabbanan? And number two is, what does it mean b'makom mitzvah? What type of mitzvahs are we talking about? What could be some relevant cases? So I'm going to give you a number of cases that come up that could come up to all of us on Shabbos at any point in time, where this leniency can potentially be very, very relevant. So when it comes to malachos d'rabbanan, here the following list are common malachos d'rabbanan that one should keep in mind. Okay, I'm about to give you a very, very common list here. Number one, turning on or off air conditioning. Turning on or off air conditioning is a malacha d'rabbanan. Number two, turning off the heat is a malacha d'rabbanan. Turning on the heat is a malacha d'araisa, is a biblical command because you are igniting a flame, you're making the flame larger, etc. Turning off a crock pot or lowering a crock pot is a malacha d'rabbanan. Raising the crock pot is a malacha, the setting on the crock pot is a malacha d'araisa, is biblical. So turning on or off air conditioning, turning off heat, turning off any cooking device, turning off lights, those are all common scenarios of malacha d'rabbanan. Lowering a flame, that's a malacha d'rabbanan. But once you're involving lights or a heating element and you're turning them on, you're making them higher, that's where you get into a malacha d'araisa. When it comes to air conditioning, I put the air conditioning on, there's no fire being ignited. Maybe there's a couple of small little sparks that come out, you know, back in the system, but we don't care about that. And, you know, so either way, turning it on or off, lowering and raising it, there's no electricity, there's no light that goes on or off that's meaningful, and there is no heating element that's meaningful. Turning off any of lights or heating elements is also all d'rabbanan. But turning on a light, turning on something which is hot, a heating element, those involve malachos deraisa, biblical malachos. So that's a very, I'm giving you there a very, very important list, which will really, I think, help in framing the next, the rest of this year this evening. Now, there is one exception to electricity, which is a more modern invention, and that is that LED lights is only derabanan, even to turn on. I say this with great caution, because you must make sure that you hear this point clearly. You know, fluorescent, incandescent, you know, that's a concern of deraisa. But LED is only derabanan. So potentially, if you need the lights on, b'makom mitzvah, only b'makom mitzvah, and you're certain every light that you're turning on is an LED, then it may be permissible to tell the guy to turn on the lights as well. I'm about to give a bunch of common examples, common situations, and hopefully that'll give you a better sense as well. Okay, so that's a list of the types of common scenarios which are derabanan, which would typically come up perhaps on the Shabbos. So what does it mean b'makom mitzvah? What could be a mitzvah that we are involved in on Shabbos where a goy could help us in fulfilling that mitzvah? So the most common scenario for all of us that could come up on any given Shabbos involves the mitzvah of oneg / kavod Shabbos, right? We have a mitzvah to have good food on Shabbos. We have a mitzvah to ensure that we're comfortable on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to ensure that we sleep properly on Shabbos. These are all not just inconveniences. These are all not just needs. They're mitzvos. This is all part of the mitzvah of oneg and kavod Shabbos. So these are the most common scenarios where telling a goy to do something for us, derabanan, is going to be permissible. So for example, the light is accidentally on in a person's bedroom. So we discussed last week about if it's on in a child's bedroom, then this whole conversation is not relevant, it's not needed, because a guy could do anything, even a malacha de'araisa, as we said, for a young child, 5 or 6 years old. But let's say it's an older child, or let's say it's an adult. The light's on in the bedroom. So can I tell a guy to turn off the light in the bedroom? So the answer is, strictly speaking, yes, because turning off a light is derabanan. Telling a guy to do it is derabanan. That's a shvus to shvus, one derabanan on another derabanan. And that is permissible in the situation of getting proper sleep on Shabbos. Now, a person maybe is, let's say, has two rooms, one next to the other. Nobody's sleeping in the other room. There's really not the biggest deal if I just hop into that bed this evening. So then one has to, then it's not so simple in a case like that. There has to be some sort of meaningful need. In a regular, let's say, a family where there are children at home and the kids are all in the other bedrooms, and there's a master bedroom. The parents want us to be the master bedroom, and that light is on. Certainly, you know, yes, you could, one of them, you know, you could go downstairs or cuddle up with one of your kids in another room, but that's not really so convenient necessarily. So that's a real need. That's a legitimate need, and that's permissible. A person has other bedrooms where it's very easy for them to fall asleep, and it's just almost just as comfortable. Then the person should not run to this leniency, because again, there's not really a great need. But very often that is a need. So that would be one example. Or for example, the lights in any bedroom or where you need those lights off, like most common would be for sleeping. Another case would be if, let's say, the chulim pot was accidentally kept on high going into Shabbos. Right? We have a common practice in our house for many years that we put the chulim pot on high a few hours before Shabbos, once we put it up, and we, part of the, right before candle lighting sweep of the house, where we turn off the necessary lights for Shabbos, we're supposed to lower the flame to put it on the lower flame. On occasion, once in a while, we forget to do that. If we leave it on the hot flame, it's gonna burn by tomorrow. And that is the mainstay of our Shabbos meal. The mainstay of our Suda Shabbos is the cholent. In a situation like that, if it was accidentally left on too high, and you know the cholent's going to burn, that is considered a need. That is considered letzorech mitzvah. There's a need involved. In order to have my primary suda on Shabbos, that's an important part of the suda. And then therefore, you're allowed to go find the goy and directly, again, remember, in these cases, it's permissible directly, to tell the goy directly, excuse me, sir, can you please come into my house, into my kitchen? It's our Sabbath. I cannot lower our crock pot. Please come lower the flame for me. Now, not to raise it. Let's say you put it on low, but you meant to put it on high. You cannot tell him to raise it, because that involves a biblical prohibition. But to lower it involves only a rabbinic prohibition, and it's permissible if it's makom mitzvah. Now, that doesn't mean that every single side dish you have this leniency for. Let's say you have some sort of crock pot contraption or something where you're heating up, you know, your sixth side dish, nebuch, the string beans are going to burn. What am I going to do? Okay, you still have your chilint, you have your kasher vanishkes, you have your gefilte fish, you'll survive without the string beans. In other words, if it's like a side dish, it's not as integral to the meal, then that's not enough to be considered b'makom mitzvah. This leniency is only for the mainstay of the meal. And that, by the way, that could include, you know, the gefilte fish, because there's a minhag to have fish many people hold at a meal. So gefilte fish, you know, the main meat, chicken, you know, chilant, those types of things, if they're on too high of a flame, like not that the gefilte fish would be on a flame necessarily, whatever, but if there would be a malacha derabanan involved in getting the gefilte fish ready, that would be permissible because that's considered b'makom mitzvah. But some side dish, you know, a person should not rely on this for something like that. Remember, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, anytime you ever want to hint without any sort of directive, that's always permissible. So even if it is a side dish, you can say, our string beans are on too high. You're stating facts, you're telling the story. We discussed this 2 weeks ago. That's always permissible. Here we're talking about where it's mutar to even tell the guy directly, clearly, with a clear directive of exactly what you want him to do. And if it's b'makom mitzvah and he's only doing a derabanan, then it's permissible. For example, the air conditioning is too high or too low. You didn't realize it was, you know, the weather outside was unpredictable, and you thought it was going to be a certain thing yesterday, and you set it a certain way, and all of a sudden it's so hot outside, and the air conditioning's not on high enough. So there, you're allowed to tell the guy directly to come into your house, please press this button. See that button right there? Press it, raise it, because we cannot do it. It's our Sabbath. Right, that is permissible because that's all considered b'makom mitzvah. The truth is the air conditioning has another reason. It's also b'makom sorah, if there's a need. You know, now again, let's say it's on 72. You're totally fine. You would ideally, if you were to start again, you'd put it on 71. So, but if really you're fine, it's okay. You're just slightly uncomfortable. That's not enough, right? There needs to be some sort of meaningful difference that you're looking for. Again, it doesn't have to be major. It doesn't have to be at sorah gadol, a great need. But it's some sort of meaningful need, you know. Then it's enough. One is allowed to ask the guard directly to do it. In our, you know. So those are some of the common scenarios. I'll mention one LED point when it comes to, let's say, the dining room lights. You know, one of the children Friday night turns off the lights in the dining room. Okay, so you're sitting there for your Shabbos suda. It's dark outside. There's no light coming through the windows. Maybe there's some light coming from the kitchen window, but it's really, really impacting the meal. It's not at all the same. If you have incandescent or fluorescent bulbs, even one bulb somewhere connected to that switch, you cannot tell the guy directly to turn that on because then he's doing a malacha d'oraisa for you. But if all of the lights in the dining room are all LED and you are certain, you must be certain, I say this very, very carefully, then it's only the rabbanan and you could tell him directly to turn the light on. Shabbos afternoon, for the Shabbos suda there, the lights go off. It depends. Let's say it's a sunny day. You have a lot of windows, plenty of light coming through. It's fine. It's all right. Okay. It's not as geschmack as it would be if lights would be on. It was really pretty much doable, and you're already holding by dessert anyway. You know, then a person should not rely on this leniency. So it is a case-by-case basis, but a person does not have to wait for a very urgent matter. You don't have to wait for it to be really, really painful or very uncomfortable. As long as there, it's you know, in a meaningful way, it's uncomfortable in a certain way, certain sense, then it's going to be permissible. A couple other cases which could arise, for example, like in our oven. So if you set our oven, we don't have like one of those fancy Shabbos ovens. If you set the timer on our oven, when the timer finishes, it just beeps, and it beeps forever. It almost seems like that. I don't even know if it beeps forever, but it seems like it beeps forever. If you know what I mean, you know, you have that, you know what I mean. So we always try to make sure that before Shabbos, we turn it off. We're trying to heat up food as much as possible right before Shabbos. And then we turn off the oven right before Shabbos. And very usually if we get it right, and then the food just stays in the turned off oven. Even now later when I come back from shul, the food is usually nice and warm. We forgot to press that button before Shabbos, the clear button right before Shabbos. All of a sudden, my wife lights candles. Shabbos comes in and just beep, beep, beep loudly, very annoyingly. That's a big annoyance. It's very hard to have a proper suda with that constant beeping sound. In that situation, you would be allowed to tell a guy to come and tell him directly what to do. Please turn this off, because to turn it off is only derabanan, and therefore that would be okay. Another scenario which could come up, again, this is more a little bit more of a random scenario. Let's say a person has a hot plate set up and they have their oven on for Shabbos, or a warmer on Shabbos, okay? And all of a sudden, both are on going into Shabbos, okay? You set them on before Shabbos. All of a sudden, the hot plate breaks, whatever, trips, whatever, on Shabbos. So now you want to be able to take that food and put it into the warmer or into the oven on Shabbos. Now, to do that on Shabbos is also derabanan. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You can't put something directly into the oven on Shabbos. If it's a liquid, it's even a deraisa. But even the dry stuff that we have, like the kugel or the grilled chicken, the breaded chicken, right? We all know how we heat that up properly on Shabbos. We have to take an inverted pan and put it on top of the inverted pan, etc. But let's say that whole, you know, contraption, which is on top of the hot plate tripped, and you know the electricity, you know, stopped working. So I have my oven. So now in that situation, I cannot put it in the oven on Shabbos, but I'm allowed to ask a guy directly to take that and put it into the oven on Shabbos. Why? Because taking food and heating it up inappropriately, as long as it's a dry food, is only forbidden derabanan. And therefore, if it's for the sake of a mitzvah, for the sake of my primary meal, that it should be warm and it should be hot and it tastes dramatically different, or at least meaningfully different, and then that would be permissible. Again, another random scenario, but just to kind of flesh out the idea for you. So I gave you the most common scenarios where it's most relevant when it comes to certain derabanans, which is really when it comes to lights, you know, air conditioning slash heat, you know, again, lowering the heat, is, you know, turning off the heat, lowering heat is okay, but not raising it, right? And, you know, lights, air conditioning, and heating. Those are the three most common things where it could be relevant that we may need a guy to be involved. Some other shadows will come up whenever the Erev is down, or a person lives somewhere where there's no Erev. Then there are some other very, very big shilas. So for example, in most of our communities, most of our streets, it's only forbidden derabanan to push a stroller or a wheelchair in our streets, because usually it's not considered a Rosh Hashanah, a public domain biblically, without getting into those details. And most of our communities are considered a carmelis, which is a rabbinic prohibited area to carry on Shabbos when there's no Erev. So can you wheel someone to shul on Shabbos? And there's no Erev. You can't do it because it's asa derabanan for you to carry or push somebody. But can you ask a guy to push somebody to do that malacha derabanan for you on Shabbos? Can you ask a guy to push the children in a stroller to shul on Shabbos? So the children is an easier one. You know, what's the, you know, again, a derabanan is only permissible b'mako mitzvah. It needs to be a real mitzvah, a real need of some sort. So is there really a tremendous need the children to go to shul on Shabbos? As youth director, absolutely. I'm just kidding. It's nice. It's wonderful. If they don't come one Shabbos, they'll be all right. As long as they come every other week and they come to groups and they participate and they're well-behaved, they're going to be fantastic. They're going to love shul when they get older. They're going to have a wonderful experience of B'nai Yisrael. They miss the Shabbos. It's not the end of the world. It's not the greatest need. Again, for the average child. In that situation, there is no leniency to allow a guy to push the children to shul when there's no Erev on Shabbos. What happens? There could be extenuating circumstances. I'll give you two scenarios. One is, and this I'm sure this has happened in our community, right? Very often our Erev committee does an excellent job with their Erev. They're really, really fantastic. Sometimes things happen beyond their control and we find out Erev Shabbos, 2 hours before Shabbos, everyone gets an email, the Erev is down for Shabbos. Meanwhile, there's like 30 families that are guests for Shabbos. There's a Shabbos Sheva Bracha is going on in the community. People brought their family, their children. They're all planning on eating together in one of the shuls and their social halls, relying on pushing their own children in strollers on Shabbos. And all of a sudden, they all arrive, and the Erev is down. But then it becomes a real shaila. Is that considered enough of a tzarech, enough of a need, enough of a mitzvah for them to eat together? You would say it's the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam Bekala. Maybe it's the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ha'Eim. I don't know that you could, there's what to discuss in a situation like that. That's more of a serious question. Maybe there's room to be lenient, potentially in certain circumstances if that were to happen. Depends, it all depends. This is a question, a case-by-case basis. When I went to in Edmonton, where I lived for 2 years before I came to Philadelphia, there's no Erev in Edmonton because all of the phone lines are underground. So that's it was a tremendous, you know, inconvenience for the community. So I had a big shiloh before I moved there. Sarah and I were the youth directors. That was part of our job description. we were expected to be in shul every Shabbos morning. At the time, we had two children, and both of them were young, and we're not going to walk. We're not able to walk to shul. So we had a question, and I remember speaking to my posik about it before I left, is that, what are we supposed to do? My wife is expected to be in shul on Shabbos. It's part of our responsibilities to run the youth program, but we can't leave our children behind. And I discussed it at great length with my posik to discuss, is there enough of a mitzvah here, enough of a tzorech? In my situation, there was a tremendous kirov opportunity. These children, for many of them, this was the only Jewish experience they had. They went to public school. It was the job required it, whatever. It was discussion, and we were granted a leniency in my particular circumstance. But again, these are shilas to be asked when they come up, not to make assumptions that all of a sudden it's for a good cause, so therefore it's okay to ask a goy to do a malacha d'rabbanan. There has to be, in a situation, some sort of meaningful need, a tzorech, a need, a mitzvah of some kind. How to determine that could be a case-by-case basis. Now, a couple of other last things. Oh, so pushing, let's say, an adult in a wheelchair, an elderly person in a wheelchair on Shabbos. So let's now discuss, this one's a little bit of a harder shaila. You say, is it a mitzvah? So to daven with a minion, certainly it's a mitzvah to daven with a minion. So is that enough to justify pushing an adult? Let's say, so certainly, again, I don't mean to be at all insensitive this way, but it could make a difference if it's a male or a female, right? The female is not exactly making up the minyan. For the male who's, let's say, davening with him, there's a mitzvah to daven with the minyan for him. There's a mitzvah to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So is that constitute a mitzvah where this would be permissible? So this is a big discussion, because on the one hand, you would say yes, but in the place of Kriyas HaTorah, daven with the minyan. On the other hand, it may be if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the person whatever circumstance they have, and where they can't make it to shul on their own, so maybe they're patur from davening with a minyan. They don't have to daven with a minyan if they can't get there with a bayid. In other words, maybe that's what Kosh Baruch Hu wants from them. So that's a shaila. Usually these questions, when this particular shaila of a wheelchair with somebody, is usually a broader shaila. There's very often broader implications to a shaila like that. There could be psychological issues to that. Let's say a person, Rahman al-Islam, whatever, has a certain condition. They cannot walk to shul anymore. And where they live, there's no Eruv. So again, if this person missed one Shabbos, okay, they'd be all right. But now that there's no Eruv, or the Eruv is down for a couple of months, or whatever it may be, for them not to ever go to shul on Shabbos, psychologically, just maybe very, very difficult for them, for their children, for their family. So there's sometimes broader implications to these shilas, and every aspect of the shila has to be addressed. But these are shilas to be asked if the situation warrants. Okay, I'm going to stop here with the shiur part. If anybody has any questions, I'm checking the chat. Again, I don't see anything in the chat, which is fine. Again, for those who came on late, in the future, if you ever want to have a question, you could always message it in the chat during the shiur, and I'll get to it first thing after I finish speaking. But if anybody wants one by one to mute themselves, feel free to do so and ask away. Any questions? Yeah, I see that you have muted yourself. Is there a question? Okay. Sounds good. Hopefully everybody gets it. Hopefully it makes a lot of sense. At any point in time, if you want to reach out to me, email, call, text, WhatsApp, in any way you want, more than happy to discuss this further. And next week, we will continue with other categories of leniencies. We'll discuss what if there's a monetary loss involved. What if there's a need, but it's not a mitzvah need? We'll discuss other types of actions which are very, very relevant, which could come up, where there are further permissibilities to directly ask a guy to do something for you on Shabbos. Okay, have a wonderful evening, everyone. Have a good week. I'm looking forward to Mitzvah Hashem to next Wednesday night. Take care, everyone. Be well.
Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Good night.
You too. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Pleasure.